following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening. Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now, your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Well, Jimmy's half right there. It is not Jason and Pete. How about Jason and Jay? And, of course, the fan club president, the one and only Dustin Roberts. Hey, guys.
Howdy. Hey, howdy, howdy. What's up?
Yeah, I brought friends. I figured on my first week back that I would need a little company, a little backup. Pete can't be here this week.
Actually, Pete, I'm standing right next to Jason. I got the brass knuckles out. We're going to make him do a show for once.
Well, I've been missing you, dude.
I showed up at his door and said, hey, where you been?
And you made me an offer that I couldn't refuse. So you want to continue doing the show, you're going to have to come to work once in a while. So here I am. Now, Pete is not here. Pete is he's vacationing, and he's going to have a big announcement when he gets back.
Uh-oh.
Can I spill the beans?
That he's back from vacation.
I don't know. Did he say anything to you, Jay, when you talked to him last week?
Oh, yeah. He talked to me off air.
About what he was doing?
Well, not exactly what he was what was going to be the net result.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to just say it. I'm going to say it.
Hope she's not listening.
She's not. Well, it already happened, so we're covered. Pete is engaged.
Woohoo!
To be married, actually.
Did we both go woohoo at the same time?
Stereo.
So, big congratulations to Pete and his fiance Chrissy.
Yay!
Now, his fiance is my wife's best friend. They've been best friends since first grade. So it's very incestual around here in that way.
That's so much like Star Wars.
Yes, it actually kind of is. But
that was so wrong.
Oh, I love that part. That was great.
We met the lovely lady at C4 and... I think they'll be very happy for a long time.
I think they will. Yeah, can you two crazy kids. So we're going to try to do our best without Pete. And, it takes you two to replace just one Pete Nadel. So thank you guys for being here. By the way, I should say that this week's episode is for July 13th, 2007. We got an email from a guy, I don't know if you guys saw it, where he says, I really wish you guys would start numbering your shows. So because when I put them in my iPod, they kind of play in random order.
Okay.
But I thought that's what the date was for, but I guess he means like something like a track order. But
yeah,
the only way I can and he was actually mentioning too the he was making the suggestion of having some sort of chapters and stuff and all that, and you need one of them. They're fancy Apple Macintosh computers, and the Forcecast Studios unfortunately is not equipped with such equipment. Plus, we want you to listen to the whole show. I mean, what good is it if you get to skip around and just hear your own, listener mail or something like that? You got to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, you got to listen to everything all the time because you never know what important piece of tidbit or little trivia thing is going to be in there that, could be... Dustin, wake up.
Whoa, yeah, I'm here.
Jay talking again?
Oh, man.
Chewie, take the professor in the back. We used to have that as a drop. That Jimmy sent us every time that you come on, Jay, we're supposed to play that. So, but I can't find it. So,
oh good.
So I'm just gonna do it myself.
Hit it.
Speaking of Jimmy, I want to thank Jimmy Mack for his the latest Galaxy of Music he dropped. I know Jay, you and Pete mentioned it last week, but I want to send out my own thank you. Jimmy's been great, and thank you to the folks that have written in asking where I've been, and I appreciate it. It's nice to be missed. Had some family issues that came up, and luckily, thank the good Lord, everything worked out just fine, and everything's on the mend. So that's all good. I want to thank you guys for your patience and support and all that good stuff. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Well, glad to have you back.
And while we're on the subject of thank yous, you know, there's a kind of an unsung hero around RebelScum.com, and we've mentioned his name a few times, but after Celebration 4, I really want to give him all the love I can. Stephen Hayford, who did who does the holiday action figure, Star Wars action figure photos, and he got to meet Stephen at Celebration 4, like I said, and he's a super cool guy. And I want to thank him for sending that over to RebelScum.com, the 4th of July art. That was really cool.
That was nice. Hey, he hasn't sent us his video that he promised us.
Oh, and speaking of video, you haven't sent yours. Everyone's dying to see Pete and I in full armor.
What's
the status of this film?
It's in post-production.
Man, Keith would have had that up months ago.
I knew
I should have let Keith shoot that. No, I had to let Jay play director. Ooh, I'm a camera guy. I went to camera school.
You know what? It's gonna be
camera
cinematic.
School.
You know what? It's like Apocalypse Now. I mean, it's just going and going and going.
Well, if you guys out there want to be part of the show, you can do so. Give us a call at 330-87. Well, not right now, but we'll play your voicemail at 330-871-4TFN. Boy, wouldn't that be cool if we could open it up for phone calls, do this
I'd
thing
love
live.
Live calls. That'd be great.
It'd be fun. Dangerous, too. You can also Skype us at username ForceCast. It's free. Why not? I'm amazed at how many people don't have Skype. And I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm...
It's fun. It's a chat program. It's a little bit of everything all in one. I mean, it's...
Well, you can't beat the sound quality. I mean, if you guys listened to the show last week, it really did sound like Jay and Pete could have been in the same room.
Yeah.
I've got mail.
Oh, see, right there on Skype. Also, you can email us at podcast@theforce.net. And make sure you're over at the forums at rebelscum.com. There's a trivia contest going on. Is that still going on, Jay?
Yeah, we're closing in on 1,000 points total between all people. Darth Fagan's trying to get us up to 1,000 points, and he offered some other crazy multi-pointer. I was ahead by like 100 some points, and then Jorbex just blew by me. I'm like, all right, I've been busy with work and stuff. So
my God.
Now, this is just for fun. There are no prizes on this.
There are no prizes. We're already in our sixth post, I think, and we try to shut seventh thread now. And we try to close each thread down at 500 posts, and we can do an entire thread in a night. I mean, 500 posts in a night.
These guys have been burning through them, man.
That's
I've
awesome.
Been in there and be like, whoa,
that's awesome.
It's a blast. And I mean, I got a chance, you know, now I've met all these people that we knew some of them beforehand from the forums, and we got to meet a couple of them at Celebration 4. And now I'm like, geez, I want to meet these people like in person now. I mean, because it's so much fun. Just the group over there is really great, and everybody's having a good time. And you know, that competitive edge. And the questions aren't hard. I mean, it's like, you know, who said take the professor in the back? You know, it's like that.
Oh, whoever I can answer that.
Yeah, well,
if it's film stuff, I can.
It's you can answer the questions, but can you refresh your screen fast enough and then type the answer in and hit submit before six other people have done it? Because we're getting multiple posts at the same time. It's insane.
That's awesome. I gotta make sure I'm slowly but surely getting back into the swing of things, and that's one of the things I need to check out. Hey, did you guys look at that YouTube video of the stormtrooper in Hong Kong?
Yeah, I posted that.
That is really funny. I mean, there's all these videos, and you know, you get them emailed to you all the time, but this one is really worth checking out. We'll definitely have it on our show notes.
Well, since that came from Tossie Station originally, that's only the best stuff gets posted at Tossie Station.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. And I you know, I clicked on it like I click on everything, you know, with really low expectations, and I was at work, and I was just laughing my butt off. I don't know what it is. It's the Austin Powers like moment where all of a sudden he's joined by the everybody on the street.
Well, this happens often. This is in Tokyo, and the stormtrooper jumps out in the middle of the street at a crosswalk during the signal to the Earth, Wind, and Fire song. What is it?
We Can Boogie On Down.
Yeah, and. Then all these other costume characters kind of jump out and start dancing with them. But, I mean, I've seen ones, you know, like Power Rangers gather, you know, in the middle of the square and start doing something crazy like that. So Like, Carly, it's a different cultural kind of meme over there, I guess.
Hey guys, you know what I have on the desk right now?
Sideshow something?
No, I've got my Gentle Giant Obi-Wan bust. It came.
Oh, cool.
And it's awesome. It's my first mini bust. And I had to, you know, I got to say, Dustin, you're sort of my inspiration on this. There's a lot of things to admire about Dustin Roberts, but the one thing I do most of all is your restraint as a collector. You have narrowed and focused yourself down, and I really appreciate that. So I'm working on that. and so Alec Guinness Obi-Wan stuff and animated Yoda stuff is kind of creeping up as my preferred areas of focus, and I had to get the Obi-Wan.
This is the Obi-Wan. This is the old Obi-Wan where he's like got his arm crossed and his hand on his face.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
It's very cool. Very cool. Also, I received in the mail a nice little care package from Stan and John at Dreams and Visions Press. Great guys over there. Some great prints and kind of a sneak preview of the bookmarks, Jay, that you were talking about that are going to be available at Celebration Europe.
Yep.
So I'll try to spread the wealth, okay, guys? But Stan and John, great guys over there, and I think they might have heard that, you know, I wasn't having the best of times recently, and so they sent this, and I really appreciate that. That was very cool of them. Now, Dustin, you can help me out with this. We got an email from Jason in Texas, who had a little bit of a problem with his tattoo. Now, I don't believe, Jay, you don't have a tattoo, do you?
I do not have, not have any tattoos.
All right, Dustin, you do?
I've got a couple.
Okay, you've got a couple. All right, so basically this guy went in, and he was trying to get a Star Wars tattoo, and it was a logo from the Jedi Knight Outcast game. And I guess the tattoo artist reversed this thing?
Yeah, when he scanned it and then put it in to get the template made for it, apparently put it on backwards.
Yeah.
So it was a reversed image. Somehow it got flipped around, you know? And the guy had to approve it, you know? He said, yeah, that looks good before the guy started inking. But then when he was done, he's like, oh, man, it's backwards.
Well, he probably approved it looking in the mirror.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Looks fine.
Well, and this is for people that don't know, this is the one. It kind of looks like a lightsaber with two separate lines, and on one side, the for the hilt part, it's like a J and a K kind of form into the blade. So, of course, now it's kind of a backwards KJ. So.
Well, it's a really cool logo, and, you know, his options basically are, you know, to remove the thing, or to add to the design. And you know, it never occurred to me, but Dustin, you did the right thing. You immediately forwarded this email onto Shane Turgeon, our resident Star Wars tattoo expert. And what was Shane's advice for the guy?
Well, Shane, you know, he said, I wouldn't recommend any type of laser, you know, removal or anything like that. And he said, the best thing you can do is just, you know, do your research, find a good artist and see if he can, you know, touch it up by adding to it or, you know, maybe over time adding to it and creating like a half sleeve type of you know, effect or something like that, because it takes up, you know, pretty much the majority of his arm on one side, you know, from his elbow to his shoulder.
Well, what we're going to try to help him out here on the Forcecast. We're going to post the photo that he sent us in the forums, and we'll get the opinion of the listeners and the folks that visit the forums to see.
Yeah, because we've got that tattoo artist Mario B, I think, in the forums.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Yeah.
And we'll see anyone has any suggestions.
He can do something to dress it up and make it look better. Just, you know, he'll always know, but nobody would know, you know, in general just looking at it, you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, it's, yeah, exactly.
Hey,
I mean, it's
not isn't that the logo for
Jedi Outcast?
Backwards. Hey!
Well, it depends on where he's at. You know, if he was at Celebration 4, you know, in the tattoo exhibit, they'd boot him out of there, you know?
yeah.
Get out of here. It's backwards. But
I feel for the guy. I mean, because it was a pretty big piece, and you know, he probably, you know, dropped a decent amount of change just to get that done. And I think it was his first tattoo too, and that's what sucks is to have such a bad experience like that on your first tattoo.
He's saying never again.
Yeah. Well, it's
Hey, you know, one thing I forgot to do here is thank our sponsors, the folks that make this all happen here at the ForceCast, and the Force.net and Rebelscum.com is Official Picks. Check them out at officialpicks.com, your source for official Star Wars photographs and autographs. I ought to know. We've all ripped them up into little tiny pieces. And that whole experience gave me my favorite Jimmy Mack line ever. The beautiful Amy Allen in shreds. Every time I go back and listen to that, it just kills me. But anyway, so thanks to Official Picks. We've got some headlines coming up in just a second. Stay right there.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right, now I know I'm talking to at least one veteran of Comic-Con. Jay, have you ever been to any of the Comic-Cons before?
What's that?
Have you ever been to any of the Comic-Cons before?
Not since I've been with Rebel Scum. It's I went to San Diego Comic-Con back in like the early 90s, 91, 92, something like that, when I was working for a comic shop.
Okay. But Dustin, you were just there last year, right?
Yeah, I went out last year, and I've been once before, so I've been twice. Ooh, I'm a veteran.
Well, hey, more than I've been. I mean, how does it? I mean, it's probably hard to compare it to a celebration where it's all Star Wars, but I think in the last few years, San Diego Comic Con they've tried to sort of have a big Star Wars presence.
Well, actually, no. Last year they didn't.
Last year?
They didn't have a pavilion last year. I was pissed off, actually, because I went up. Seems like every year I go out, they don't do it. Like,
you
this year,
classy,
they're bringing
San Diego
back the big pavilion, is what Mary told me. So look for, you know, a strong presence at San Diego this year.
Well,
because it's the 30th anniversary.
The 30th anniversary, right. And now what I've done is I went through, and if you guys are looking at the show notes, I've pulled out a lot of information. If you're going this year, let's see, what are the dates on this? July 26th through the 29th. Well, that's coming up. These folks that have been to C4 and going off to Celebration Europe and then off to the Comic-Con, man.
A busy couple of months.
Lucky.
Dan Curto.
Lucky.
But if you are heading out to San Diego Comic-Con, you got a lot of cool things to look forward to. On Thursday, there's going to be a panel discussion, and one of the participants there is going to be Ray Park. I mean, not
Darth
just
Maul.
Darth Maul. Yeah, also
Toad from X-Men.
Exactly. I don't have the time for that, but then later on that evening at 6 o'clock, our good friend Kyle Newman and some of the Fanboys gang is going to be putting on a little presentation. Now, I don't know if they're getting quite the treatment that Celebration Europe attendees are getting, which we'll cover that in a little bit. Which, yeah,
I want to go.
I tell you, I had to give Kyle a little bit of business on that one. I had to email him back. I gave him a little bit of what for. I said, you know, you and Mark Hamill can just go off into the sunset together, okay? anyway, check it out. Let's see. Who do we have? We got Dan Fogler, Sam Huntington, Chris Marquette. Chris Marquette's going to be there. He wasn't able to be there at Celebration 4. Kristen Bell, she was there and is lovely in person as she is on TV. Goodness gracious. Kyle Newman, and then, of course, producers Matt and Dana. They're all really, really nice folks. So yes. Make sure if you're out there to check that out. Then on Friday, it's Star Wars Day. Now, Dustin, on Star Wars Day, I believe the last time you were at, you went to the last two, you said. And did they have Star Wars Day at the first one you went to?
Yes, there's, I think, always a Star Wars Day at San Diego in most recent years, from my understanding.
Okay.
Since the whole Episode 1, you know, upswing prequels.
Right, okay. All right. Well, this year is no different. Star Wars Day, what's new and what's coming from Hasbro? There'll be a panel there. Also, that's 11:30 to 12:30. And then LucasArts, folks from LucasArts are going to be there with a Q&A. Of course, I'm sure that everyone's going to have unleashed questions. 1:30 to 2:30, the Robot Chicken sets and toys are going to be on display. I'm looking here to see. It doesn't look like Seth Green's going to be there. He was there. Now, did you guys go to that at C4?
I missed it. It was a choice between that and I think the Clone Wars cartoon, and I chose the Clone Wars cartoon.
Well, I mean, I loved the Robot Chicken special. It was awesome. And after I saw it, I was like,
it would be soon enough. So I just waited until it was on TV.
Right, right. But let's see. Oh, and then speaking of trivia, Jay Shepard, you should be there from 6:30 to 7:30. There will be a trivia contest.
Yeah, well, maybe I can phone it in.
You could clean you could clean up. Now, one guy that was at Celebration 4 and will also be at San Diego Comic-Con is Seth MacFarlane, and it sounds like he's been there before. He's a veteran of San Diego Comic-Con, but he's going to be there on Saturday from 1:30 to 2:30 talking about Family Guy and, of course, the Star Wars special that he's doing. I'm really looking forward to that one, too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
We were watching a clip of that last night. I was showing Shannon. It's up on YouTube.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything from it. I haven't even watched the trailer yet. I need to do that. Pete's the real big. I mean, I love, you know, Family Guy is one of those shows that when I'm flipping around and I see it on, I always watch it. But I haven't fallen into the TiVo trap with it where I, you know, tape it or whatever. It's coming. I'm just going to borrow Pete's DVDs.
Yeah, you got to do the DVDs.
Yeah, that's the way to watch TV, man. And then let's see. I threw this up here. I mean, just because he's of course a Star Wars legend, Ben Burtt is going to be part of the Disney Pixar showcase where they're going to be. Giving out some details on the latest Narnia film. And then, Jay, I don't know. What do you know about this movie, Wall-E? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's Wall-E.
Oh, Wall-E, okay.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Pixar, they just keep rolling stuff out. I mean, even before Ratatouille came out, they had previews for Wall-E up on Apple's trailer site. It's another Pixar animation film. This is something they'd been kicking around since back around Monsters, Inc., I think. At least Andrew Stanton did as came up with the story. And it's about a kind of like a robot Mars rover kind of looking character, and he becomes sentient. I think it takes place in the future, and he kind of goes off on his own adventures instead of doing what he's supposed to do. It looks really kind of cool.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Star Wars reference or two in that film when it comes out.
Yeah, well, if Ben Burtt is doing sound design on it, it's about robots.
What do you think that Wall-E might bump into a few, or maybe a droid or two that we might recognize? I don't know, or at least the Wilhelm scream.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Yes. And they have put the Wilhelm scream in a couple of the other Pixar films, I believe.
Oh, have they really? It's showing up everywhere. I just watched a movie the other night, and the Wilhelm scream. My wife looked at me like, "There's a name for that," and then she goes, "That's a Star Wars thing, isn't it?" Like, no. Yes.
Charge at Feather Ridge. Come on.
Right, right. Well, you're right. It didn't originate with Star Wars, obviously, but of course it was Star Wars fans that really gave it its push. And then on Sunday, 12:30 to 1:30, is the kids' drawing workshop. You can draw Star Wars with Barney Burton, Tom Hodges, and Matt Bush, three great individuals. And you can check out an interview if you go to our archives with all three of them about the You Can Draw Star Wars book. So, sounds like a full boat, full plate, definitely, for the folks going to San Diego Comic-Con, another convention that I'm not going to, but not that I'm bitter or anything. It just sounds like it'd be fun. Sounds like it'd be a good time.
You got to go out there once, man. And this is for anybody. If you ever get a chance to go to San Diego one year, just do it. It's really quite the experience. It's unlike anything else.
I'd imagine.
You can't compare it to Celebration. It's because it's multimedia everything from everywhere, and it's just sensory overload.
Oh yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it represents a real. And Jay, you probably might agree with this or have a different take. I don't know. I mean, I think something like San Diego Comic Con represents a real change in the way films are promoted. It just seems like there's
definitely
a real grassroots effort. To get these films in front of the fans as quickly as possible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you want to get the buy-in from the fan base on films. I mean, you know, comic-based films, and then even just any other kind of sci-fi, fantasy, horror film. There was always a comic convention at the Shrine Auditorium by USC once a month, and I think it's still going on. But they would be screening, you know, like the newest horror film, and I have a huge box of like all the free pins of these cheesy horror sci-fi films that you could look at them and go, oh yeah, I remember hearing about this, but like some of these films you're like, what the heck is this? I look at them and I go, I don't remember this film. Did this come out? And so, yeah, I mean, San Diego kind of is the template that other Comic Cons have tried to emulate. But yeah, it was kind of one of the first ones to.
Well, and as hard as it is to believe, I mean, the original release of Star Wars in 1977 was teased at San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, back in 70.
To not all that much, you know, excitement, really.
Yeah, they had 1,000 of the Howard Chaykin posters to sell for, I think, $1 a piece, and they only sold, like, 650 of them.
Unreal.
And now these things go, you know, for a couple hundred bucks a poster.
Wow.
So, and the t-shirts that like, they had to give out, the which was the old triangle-style Star Wars logo and stuff like that, now go for a lot of money, too, so... Yeah, you never know what the next big thing is, you know, coming out of there. So.
No, that's cool. And if you haven't had enough of conventions, coming up at the end of August, you might want to try Hobby Star. That's up in Canada. And why would you want to go there? Well, it's an opportunity to see just about every... Well, is it every... it's every living Darth Vader / Anakin Skywalker actor on stage together for the first time. Including the elusive Hayden Christensen, and Hayden finally breaking down and doing a convention, and I have to borrow a phrase from Return of the Jedi. So you've accepted the truth. No, I mean, in all seriousness, we're happy to see Hayden jump into this realm. I don't know if this is just something that, because I mean, he is Canadian. This, who knows? This could be in his hometown, or for whatever reason. But it's nice to see him show up at something like this. I mean, that has a lot of appeal to see Dave Prowse, Jake Lloyd, and Hayden Christensen. You know, do a panel together. I think that would be really cool. What do you guys think?
I'd love to go. Are you offering it? No. You're not I'm sorry.
It's the day before my birthday.
I think it's very cool. I mean, to just take this step is you know, a step in the good direction for us, because it'll open the door to more opportunities for him going to other conventions in the future, I think.
Yeah.
When
Carrie Fisher was like, oh my God, she's going to be at this show, and that was like the springboard. Now she's at every show, you know what I mean?
So yeah.
Hopefully it'll open the door, and maybe other actors, you know, we'll follow, and maybe he'll make it hip to them and say, hey, it's not that bad. You guys should come sign some autographs this weekend.
Ewan. Well, and I think what Jay was mentioning too, and that this evolution of the way that films are promoted, I think that these actors are finally starting to see that, you know, going to a convention isn't necessarily a dead end. It doesn't mean that your career is over. It's not Vegas for a rock star necessarily.
It's
which
like
even
Vegas, only the lighting's better.
I don't think it necessarily means what it used to. I don't think it implies what it used to. What do you?
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, unless you're just one of these, you know, Jawa number two. I don't know. I don't want to give a bad rap to.
No, I know what you mean.
To those kind of people. Because that may end up being like their best gig for the rest of their career. But for people who are still going out, and I mean, he's young and he's still doing films and stuff like this. And, you know, there are not too many, you know, Life as a House conventions going on. So.
Yeah, what was that about?
Broken Glass, you know.
I did really like Shattered Glass. I don't know if you guys ever saw that. But it was a very cool movie. It's worth checking out. And he's quite good in it. And I haven't exactly, you know, written Hayden Christensen off as an actor. I think he's just fine. I think he did fine in the part, considering it, you know, all the different things that all those actors were up against, from fan expectations to, you know, the technical stuff. I mean, we've heard it all before. We know. But if you're interested in going to this, it's an afternoon with Hayden Christensen. It's at the Hobby Star. It's a convention. It's a little pricey. Did you see the price on this?
These are cheap.
An afternoon with Hayden Christensen, a VIP ticket for Saturday, August 25th, is $279 plus tax. I think I owe Miss Fisher an apology.
Weren't you complaining about what? $15?
All right.
You cheap SOB.
Well, you know what? Let me point this out. I believe these are Canadian dollars.
Oh, okay. So that's still $15 then, right?
No, well, you know what? It doesn't. It could be. It could. Who knows? But it's at the Metro Toronto Convention Center, in Toronto. I really would like to go. In fact, I had talked to Jimmy. I emailed him. I said, you want to fly up to Toronto and try to you know, bum rush this show and maybe get an interview? Wouldn't that be a great Forcecast coup, wouldn't it? A Cantina interview with Hayden Christensen? It'd be great. And he's got to be sick of answering the same, what was it like wearing the suit? You remember the you know the build up to episode 3? You're like, oh, Hayden's going to be on Entertainment Tonight, and you're all excited, you know, and you turn it on, and all it is, what was it like in the suit? Give me a break.
It was hot.
Right.
Dark.
We got a little bit, thanks to Jimmy Mack, we've got some clips from when Hayden was at Celebration 2. Now, both you guys were at Celebration. No, Jay, you were not, right?
I was not.
Okay, Dustin, you were at Celebration 2. Did you see Hayden and give his presentation?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did you see him running around?
I was working that entire weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That was a rough one, yeah. I was stuck in a small room with a bunch of stacks of photos and autographs. And that's when they did that. You know, you could pre-order them at the thing, come back at a time and pick them. Was it the pull service?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I was stuck doing for a couple days. So.
Well, here's what you missed. We've got a few clips of Hayden Christensen at Celebration 2. Right here.
Is this the first convention you've been to?
Yes, yes, and it's quite something. I must admit, about an hour ago, I kind of snuck out into the convention. I put a stormtrooper helmet on so I wouldn't get hassled. But I went and I took a walk around and I checked out the convention, and it's something else, I must say. It's pretty amazing.
Did you get recognized?
No, that was sort of the purpose of the stormtrooper helmet.
Did anybody? It's true, he did this. Did anybody notice?
No.
You see? Very clever.
Rick McCollum's walking around as a stormtrooper at the moment.
When you listen to him here, unfortunately you guys can't hear it, but he sounds really relaxed. He's talking about throwing the stormtrooper helmet on and walking around the convention incognito-like. he was being interviewed by Anthony Daniels, and he sounds really it's interesting because here he is before the release of Episode 2. And, you know, before all of the, before everything just hit the fan with this poor guy. And I had an opportunity, a really fortunate opportunity, to talk to Jake Lloyd's mother a little bit at Celebration 4. What a nice lady. And she told me about kind of the nastier side of fans. And it was really disappointing to hear. I don't want to get into the details, but and I'm sure that Hayden Christensen has been no exception. So I can't necessarily... blame him for being reluctant to do these things in a way.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that's a side of fandom that we don't really want to.
Well, and that's not. I mean, that's across the board, and that's not just Star Wars based thing. I mean, it's just it's probably any celebrity and public relationship.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. No. Definitely. It's. I mean. I've been to some pretty rough Star Trek conventions, let me tell you.
No, don't tell me.
Jay, you and I need to get together and talk Trek convention sometime, all right?
I know. We got to do like a microcast on a Trek convention or something like that.
We should. Hey, you guys know Gerald Holm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's, believe it or not, okay, he's Polish, right? That would make him from Poland, in case Pete's listening. And... I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But he's going to be the first Star Wars actor ever to appear at a convention in Poland, and the convention is called Dagobah 2007. And of course, Gerald Holm played Tessic and a Mon Calamari officer in Return of the Jedi. And of course, you fellows, hanging out with the official picks. Crowd, you've probably had a chance to come across Gerald before.
Yeah, I think we rode the bus once or twice there and, talked a few times in that, the official picks area.
Jimmy says he's a great interview and a really nice guy, so if you're in the area, the neighborhood of Poland, August 3rd through the 5th, check out Dagobah 2007. Who knows? This show reaches all over the world. The whole galaxy is listening.
You don't have your tickets to Dagobah 2007?
Man, if I'm not going to Hobby Star to see Hayden Christensen, I'm not going out to Poland to see Gerald Holm, let me tell you. And don't even get me started about Celebration Europe. That's coming up later. We'll have the link to Dagobah 2007 info on the show notes. In case you're on the fence, here's what Obi-Wan has to say.
You will go to the Dagobah system.
Man, I wish you guys could hear those drops. That's a shame.
No, they sound great.
Hey, I've got it now. All right. My wife, she's really into animals, right? She works at a zoo. And so she's big into the environment and all this stuff. So I just read this story. Now I know what to say when she comes down and says, why did you buy that Obi-Wan statue thing? I'm going to say, because I'm supporting the environment. I am helping the environment. This is an interesting story that came off of one of the wire services here, that Star Wars profits help the California base turn park upkeep. Of course, we're talking about the Presidio. Now, George Lucas pays $5.8 million a year to lease his space at the Presidio. And, of course, that's part of this plan to have more privatization of the public parks and things like that. And, of course, it's very controversial. But in the case of the Presidio, it really seems to work with that kind of money. Now, Jay, you're from California, right? Hello? You with me?
I got a chance to see that. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. We lost you there for a second. Go ahead.
And you hear me? Now?
Yeah, I'm from California, and actually had a chance to visit the Presidio back when it was, a private park right before Lucasfilm ended up taking it over. I'd gone out with my family. We kind of did a tour of some of the parks in the San Francisco area, including Alcatraz and Muir Woods and stuff like that.
Well, he said, for the foreseeable future, I mean, this is the way it's going to be, and it's a way for them to raise revenue. And, I think there's something to be said for the fact that, when you're paying money, you're going to be a better steward of the property. And I think with George Lucas, it's a good bet. I mean, the man certainly has those sensibilities towards leaving this world a better place than he found it. So I don't think you have to worry about that.
Lucas doing the... with the Presidio, I think that is the proper way for the privatization to work. I mean, the last thing you want to see with this is, corporations abusing their privilege of, paying to help the upkeep on these parks. You don't want to see, now it Intel's Yellowstone.
Right.
At Tom's Old Faithful or something like that.
Oh, that's the marketing guy in me is thinking like, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Oh, but, I mean, you could really go the total worst direction, with this. Oh,
you definitely could. What surprised me is to learn that there are thousands, literally thousands of tenants that live or work at the Presidio. It's a 1,491 acre former base with 469 historic structures that requires lots of money to restore. And so, of course, this is helping to do that. So it supports the environment. It supports, the preservation of history and all that good stuff. So the next time you're out at a convention or you're out at the Target or Walmart or wherever and you're buying some Star Wars stuff, just say, look, man, I'm doing my part. Why aren't you? I don't know. Do you guys remember a few weeks ago? It was one of those stories that got funnier and funnier to us. And it was probably late when we were recording the show. But it was the Hollywood Boulevard where they arrested the Chewbacca. Do you remember that?
Yeah. With Elmo or something?
What's that?
He was fighting with Elmo or something like
that? Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it's the most disturbing photo of this headless Elmo with his hands behind his back, cuffed, being pressed up against this police car. I mean, I just can't imagine what it'd be like to be a little kid who loves Elmo and seeing this scene. And then there's Chewie. And I love the fact at the time that the reporter, made sure that we all know that this is not the same actor that played Chewbacca in the films. But MyFoxLA.com is reporting that a Chewbacca impersonator, probably the same guy.
I would hope so.
He's being accused of lewd conduct by a Marilyn Monroe impersonator on Hollywood Boulevard. And I guess there's been... some history. I guess these two don't get along very well.
Can't you just see it? The Marilyn Monroe impersonator comes up to Chewbacca and it's like, hey, man, you got to back off. This is my corner.
They're all just basically panhandlers. I think it's ridiculous that they even allow them to do that down there.
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
I mean,
it's
when
not
we
really...
were out there, I had some friends when we were out there for Celebration 4. They went down there and they said they could not believe the poor quality of these costumes that people had, and the willingness for people to have their pictures taken with that crap. They just.
We should have shuttled all those poor saps over to Celebration so they get their pictures taken with some real costumes.
Exactly.
Like, you think you haven't seen nothing yet, man. But I'm with Jay on this. I mean, I'm picturing this scene, you know, of Chewbacca and Marilyn Monroe. And Jimmy Mack has given us a little bit of some sound here to help us picture what this might have been like. So here it is.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you. Well, I'd go anywhere in the world with you now.
I wish you guys could hear this. Basically, well, you'll hear it when the show comes on. But it's Marilyn Monroe singing "Happy Birthday, Mr. President," and then you hear. Chewie's doing some bad backup singing to Marilyn Monroe. Oh, Jimmy Mack. Oh, we couldn't do it without him. But also here we've got Dustin. You made some headlines yourself with the State of the Community Address.
Yeah, I figured it had been a year since it was officially announced that I won the Star Wars Fan Club President. I figured it was time for me to, you know, just say a few words and address everybody in my opinion on where we're at and where we're going and where we're heading. And
so you decided to crawl out from your ranch in Texas and address the people, right?
Yes, it was a live feed on CNN, NBC, MSNBC, and Xbox Live.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, wouldn't that be great if like the mainstream media picked up on that? Like, you know, it just happened to be a really slow news day, and they're like, "We're going to go live now to Star Wars Fan Club President Dustin Roberts."
I just wanted to say something. I wanted to say thanks, and you know, let everybody know how I felt and over the past year. It's been a fun ride, and I appreciate all the support from everybody. And well, here I recorded something, and I had Jimmy Mack touch it up, and here it is. Roll.
With no more movies being released, you'd assume that Star Wars is on its very last breath, clinging to life. Of course, that's if you're not a Star Wars fan. Since winning the contest a year ago, I found it to be just the opposite. Seems every other month Star Wars is in the news, which is just fine by me. It also helps that this year's the 30th anniversary of Star Wars A New Hope. We celebrated at the Rose Parade, we celebrated with commemorative stamps, we celebrated at Celebration 4, and we're getting ready to celebrate at Celebration Europe this upcoming weekend. I think it's safe to say that Star Wars is not dead and shows no signs of slowing down. With the Clone Wars cartoon coming out soon and a live-action series in the works, we're going to have plenty of great new adventures in that galaxy far, far away. Don't forget about the next-gen video game coming out next year, too, plus all the comics, books, and various collectibles of all shapes and sizes. Despite all that great new content coming, Star Wars still would be nothing without you, the fans. If I've learned anything this past year, it's that Star Wars fans come in all shapes and sizes and from all walks of life all over the world. It's your dedication to the various organizations and communities that all fall under one umbrella of love for all things Star Wars. From the global organization of the 501st to the Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club and everything in between, you matter. You, the fans, make up this vast community of artists, costumers, collectors, gamers, and so much more. It's the community that continues to grow, which in turn grows the franchise. It's a vicious cycle, really, but I'm loving every minute of it. So take a moment to give yourselves a round of applause, because you, the Star Wars fans, the community as a whole, is what continue to inspire both me and so many others worldwide. Thanks for being a fan and allowing me the opportunity to serve as your fan club president this past year. I couldn't have done it without you. I hope to see you all at Celebration 5, and may the Force be with you.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
The galaxy is listening.
Now, what you all aren't hearing, or what Jay and Dustin aren't hearing, is that's our official theme song for the Indiana Jones 4 update.
We got a new one.
That's the same one.
Oh.
but it fades out in a different spot than it did before. So things are heating up, and now I know that Jay, you and Pete gave the listeners quite a bit of news last week. But
yeah, we had some good stuff.
There's stuff breaking on this all the time, and I'm really happy to see the folks at Lucasfilm kind of they're almost treating this like it's a Star Wars film. I mean, with the same kind of template with the web docs and keeping people informed. At least as in you know, there's the official channel, and then there's the the backdoor channel. And through the backdoor channel, we get some news here. There's some photos now, finally. A few weeks ago, there was the photo of Harrison Ford. Actually, that was released on the official site, which was really cool to see him in the Indy garb. And now there's some new photos of him riding on the back of a motorcycle with... on a motorcycle with Shia LaBeouf, looking like Professor Jones there in his shirt and tie. In jacket. Jay, I noticed last week you had mentioned that you have some reservations about this movie. You're a little nervous about this?
Well, no, I said I was on board, which Pete, said was a good sign. but it's been a while, and as I went into in length last week, which I won't get into here, I had some issues at the time with Last Crusade. But actually now having just watched on AMC Spielberg on Spielberg, which premiered earlier this week, I think it was on Tuesday that it premiered.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's great. It's a 90-minute piece with Spielberg just sitting there talking. You don't hear the interviewer's questions. It's just Spielberg talking about all of his films and like where he was in his life. And just, he's in an entirely different place now than
if it's not posted on theforce.net, I don't ever see it. It's like my New York Times.
Yeah, I just happened to catch this, so it was pretty cool. So,
that's really cool.
I think he can do the right thing with it, but it's like let's wait and see, and I'd rather have a little less hype going because the hype before these films can never quite match what the film is. I think
that's true, and it's funny that you'd mentioned that you had some issues with Last Crusade because it's my favorite of all three by a
really?
Mile.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? I mean,
that's so weird.
It's so weird. But I love it. I don't know. I guess what my thing is, I can overlook, I'm a Star Trek fan, so I can overlook, bad acting when there's maybe some goofy story elements when there's such amazing chemistry between actors. And I just the stuff on screen between Connery and Ford, I thought was just fantastic. So
yeah,
believable.
It's good. It's good. I got it. I'm an original guy for that. I love the original Raiders because it was something I wasn't even expecting.
Yeah.
I was just one of those, wow. I mean, it opened my eyes to an entirely new genre of film.
Dustin, are you a big indie fan?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm sitting here listening to you two and I'm thinking, okay, which one's my favorite? Which one's my favorite? I love all three of them. Equally, I'd have to say. I mean, there is no one individual that I love more than the others. And I just saw Transformers over the weekend.
Ooh,
and
lucky!
I saw. This is the first time I've seen. Is it Shia?
I thought it was Shay. I thought it was pronounced Shay, but
Shia.
But Shia. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna call him SL. The first time I saw SL act was in this Transformers movie, and I was impressed. I'm looking forward, and I thought it was a fun, entertaining flick, and that's what I go to the movies for, is 2 hours of entertainment. And he kept it going and kept it rolling, and I'm thinking, okay, this kid, he's probably gonna be able to pull off this indie role. So I'm excited. I can't wait to see it.
Now, there hasn't been any confirmation as to exactly the role he's playing, other than he's playing this kind of greaser punk. I mean, it's rumored that he's quite possibly the offspring of Indy and Marion.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Yeah. Okay. It's thanks, Jay. It's rumored. If you know what, if you want to remain spoiler free, it's probably not the best thing to be listening to because without
you should not be listening to your Star Wars podcast for Indiana Jones news.
Well, you know how we Star Wars fans are.
If you're a spoiler person, you just need to log off the internet and go lock yourself in a closet.
Yeah. And that's the same way. It doesn't matter whether you're into Transformers or Harry Potter or the Narnia movies or whatever. I mean, the news will find you. The spoilers will find you because it's becoming real news. And, I mean, well, you guys know. I mean, that's what TheForce.net's all about. And Rebel Scum. I mean, it's the real news. But we don't want to get too much into the plot as far as that kind of spoilers. But I think casting is always interesting. You both watch Lost, do you not?
Yes.
Okay. So who's this Andrew Divoff that is rumored to be in Indy 4?
He's Patchy from Lost.
I don't watch Lost, no.
Okay, well, there's been this guy in the last season, this Russian guy. Jeez, his name's escaping me, too.
Oh, that guy.
He got killed, and then he didn't quite get killed. And then
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's got the patch on his eye. He's also, if you ever saw that, what was that Sean Astin film about the prep school boys that got the prep school?
Toy Soldiers, one of my favorites.
Yes, he was he was the Russian guy that was the head of the terrorist organization. Or the terrorist leader.
Oh.
He's the one.
He's the leader with the long hair?
Yeah. He does a lot of character roles, and he plays entirely, like, I think he was in one of the, I want to say he was in one of the Jack Ryan movies as some, South American drug lord or something like that. But he plays a lot of different character parts. And
I believe he also played the Klingon captain in Star Trek V, Jay Shepard. The captain, the young guy, the younger one. I'm pretty sure. Sorry, okay. Destin, I had it. All right. But anyway, so he's a creepy character actor, and he's going to be in Indy 4. And we had mentioned, I think we mentioned this on the podcast before about John Hurt. It was rumored that he might be playing Albert Einstein. Now it's being rumored that he's going to be playing Abner Ravenwood. Obviously, maybe the father of Marion Ravenwood or some sort of relative. I don't know if he'd fit into the father role or not. She's no spring chicken herself by now. But I was just checking TheForce.net before we sat down to record the show, and one of the latest updates to the Indy 4 rumors was that it looks like Ain't It Cool News might be confirming some of the earliest rumors that were first reported at TheForce.net. So that's kind of cool. So maybe you should check that out.
Hey, and before we get off the Indy stuff,
right.
I know last week we talked about... The letter that was written in about Rick McCallum talking about the Young Indiana Jones DVDs coming out later in the year.
Right.
And I have seen, there's no official confirmation yet, but a couple other sites are actually reporting October 23rd. I think it's like TV, DVD on TV or TV on DVD.
TV shows on DVD.com. Great site.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're reporting October 23rd, 2007 as the first of three volumes of the Indiana Jones, your Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
The no first price. Of three Sweet. Volumes?
Yeah.
Now, see, well, I was picturing a mega set.
That would be a couple hundred bucks. I mean, it would have to be for...
How many
for
seasons?
Yeah.
How many seasons are we talking about?
There were like 30 episodes, so it's probably like two seasons, but they're also adding, like I said last week, they're adding twice as much... archival and documentary
bonus.
Footage.
All the all the history stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm definitely gonna. That's one I'm gonna definitely check out because I wasn't. I don't know. I was just when I'm trying to remember what years that would have been when that was originally on, and it wasn't something that was exciting me that much. I don't know. I was just a punky teenager or something. I don't know, but I'm really anxious to. To experience it for the first time in a way, so
it was on in the, it was like 92 through 95, I think.
Oh like yeah, I was just getting my driver's license in 92, so I think I had other things. What is that?
I'm sorry.
92.
This is just like being back in Nam, man. I was in high school.
Well, anything else on Indy 4, guys?
I don't have anything else.
All right, we'll have a little bit more news in our collecting segment, but that's it for Indy 4. Be on the lookout in theaters next May.
This is the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
Jabba the Hutt's hottest singer was blown to smithereens. His rock and roll will never die. Presenting Max Rebo's greatest hits, including Why Do I Look Like an Elephant? average memory. And this Grammy award-winning single, I already told you, I'm not an elephant. And his famous duet with NSYNC's Joey Fatone.
Neither of us is an elephant.
Max Lebo's greatest hits, the guy who looks like a blue elephant. Order now.
The galaxy is listening.
Celebration. So you like London?
Double-decker buses, bobbies, little pubs.
There's Big Ben. There's Piccadilly Circus.
You guys are wondering, what happened to him? Where'd he go? Had lots of promos to run there. But we're in the Celebration Europe update part of the program. Top story has to be Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
Confirmed for Celebration Europe. I actually recuse myself from even talking about this story. I should just let you guys do about it, talk about it, because I'm so angry I can't even talk.
I just have to read this excerpt from Mick's story on theforce.net where it says, quote, "All attendees should feel blessed as they will be able to experience the utter joy of meeting Luke Skywalker, an experience which eluded Celebration 4 visitors in the U.S. You know,
that was beautiful.
I want to say that, you know, I'm sure I'm going to play point counterpoint here with Dustin, if you don't mind.
No, please.
You know, I'm sure that Mark Hamill, you know, his septic system exploded when, you know, he was in Los Angeles and he had to spend the time. He was planning on coming and, you know, then he had to be at home to let the plumber in. So, you know, it just didn't work out. And then, you know, when the people from Celebration Europe called, he said, well, you know, this is cool. I can take my family on a little vacation. So I'm sure that's how it's working out.
No, that's not how it worked out. He was, from what I heard, was he had planned to make a special appearance on Saturday at Celebration 4 with the contingency that, or with the, as long as it didn't interfere with some trip to New York or something like that. Apparently, he had to go to New York for something about that Black Pearl comic book.
Oh, that one from 1986?
He's working on trying to make it into a movie or something.
Yeah, he's going to the Black Pearl convention.
Wait, Pirates of the Caribbean was opening that weekend. Maybe someone just got
he got confused. He saw all these people dressed up in pirate outfits, and he's like, "It's all for me."
All right. Well, I'm just trying to let you know what I hear. So,
well, we have it on good authority that they were members of the Hamill clan at Celebration 4, scoping it out just to see. You know, look. I mean, I'm being a little facetious about this. I mean, Mark Hamill
and cynical.
Yeah. You know, Mark Hamill, he can do what he wants, but it is a little bit of a slap. Knowing that he was in town, and knowing that it's you know minutes away from where he lived, and but he's going to jump on a plane to go over to Celebration Europe. Maybe this is his way of making it up to the fans. That's the only way I can kind of justify it.
Yeah. See, I don't think he was in town though.
Oh, you don't?
I don't think he was in town.
No.
I heard he was in New York for the weekend.
But he was going to try to get back in time to make a Saturday appearance. Well,
something like that.
And we can speculate all we want. You know, it's, there was rumors about Natalie Portman supposedly being invited, and then, you know, which were actually, she was invited. And she
that's the other thing. I want to see her at Celebration Europe, because apparently she was offended that, of course, if you believe the English tabloids, tabloids, yes. She was offended that she wasn't invited to Celebration Europe. Or Celebration 4.
Which is not the case, because she was invited to Celebration 4 and had other commitments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
According to official Lucasfilm press release. So.
She's like, I'm really sorry. I have to be around attractive people that weekend. It's just a thing for me. I'm sorry.
I saw a lot of attractive people
there. No, there were. No, I'm just, you know, that's the typical Hollywood response. But I don't think Natalie's that way. I really don't. I mean, she made an appearance at San Diego Comic-Con for the build-up of, what movie am I thinking of?
V for Vendetta.
Yeah, V for Vendetta. She was there, and didn't hear anything, you know, negative that came out of that.
Yeah, missed her there too.
Yeah. Well, maybe she'll be, who knows, Celebration 5. We may see a reunion of young Natalie Portman and by then, wily convention veteran Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, could be.
You never know. So Mark Hamill is confirmed for Celebration Europe. In all seriousness, I'm really happy for the fans that are going out there. I really am, because I'm sure that's going to be.
Yeah, congrats, guys. Congrats.
That's quite a coup.
See the Emperor and Luke Skywalker on stage together again.
Yeah, Ian McDiarmid. Now, I don't think he's going to be cozying up to fans. I think he's just kind of coming out on the stage during the opening ceremonies, right?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like from the press release. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll come out and he'll, like, you know, I really like this a lot. I'm going to go up and shake some hands.
There'll be fans saying, man, I'll never forget when I saw Ian McDiarmid walk across the stage, man. It was the greatest moment of my life. I've been up close to Ian McDiarmid. Of course, I saw him in after a matinee, and he was, you know, he was getting the show had just ended, and he was going to have to come back and do another performance, and that's kind of a grinding schedule for someone, and he's not the youngest guy in the world either, so I gave him a pass. I mean, he stood there and took his photo with me, and he knew I was there for Star Wars. You could just tell. I mean, he knew he could spot me. But
what was the play?
What was it? It was the healer, I believe.
Okay.
The healer, or it's a synonym with healer. I think it's called the healer. It was Ray Fiennes was in it.
Okay.
And so I didn't see the play. I wanted to see the play, but it was sold out.
Okay, so you didn't even see the play, so you just accosted.
All right, I didn't see the play. I had no intention of seeing the play. I just knew. I called the theater. I found out what time the play was over, and I made sure that I was at the stage door at that time. Okay?
I got your number.
likewise, at Celebration Europe, there's going to be another auction. I guess they're going to be doing a live and a silent auction, similar format to what they did at Celebration 4. Did either of you guys hear the final tally on the Celebration 4 auction?
No. I mean, what was the first day? They had raised like $17,000 the first day. So
yeah. So I mean, if you figure, I mean, gosh, they probably
$30,000 or $40,000 range. I would guess.
Absolutely for the Make a Wish Foundation.
No, I want to say it was more than that.
Was it?
Yeah, let me look it up real quick. You guys.
While you do that, let's see some of the things that are going to be available. Stuff from the USA, playsets, carry cases, vehicles, role play, weapons, and all this stuff is like in cherry mint condition. Jay, did you have a chance to see the showcase with some of the stuff?
No, I didn't.
I walked by it a few times, and it's really amazing to see, like, the vintage Sandcrawler, you know, in a mint box.
Yeah,
you know?
I figured that if I did that, it would just kind of, like, break my heart, you know, for these toys that I had at one point that I don't have anymore.
Well, and then, you're sitting there, and you're like, well, it is for a good cause. So you start to... Well, certainly they didn't have any lack of people willing to bid and buy.
And I'm sure this will do just as well, if not more.
Yeah, it looks like this auction is also for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which I think of all the big charities out there, this is definitely one of the top ones on my list. It just does an incredible amount of work. We should also mention that if you can't attend Celebration Europe and bid on these items, that you can still support Lucasfilm's involvement with the Make-A-Wish Foundation by purchasing the R2-KT figure from Hasbro, which I think that debuts at San Diego Comic-Con, if I remember right.
Yes.
And it'll also be available on, I think, the Hasbro website. We had things kind of lined up. They were lining up to get Albin and Daryl DePriest from Hasbro, and Albin Johnson, who was the founding member of the 501st, and R2KT is named after his daughter who passed. And then everything just kind of went to heck here for me and here at the Forcecast Studios. So we're hoping to do that because it's a really great story, and we want to bring that to you guys. It's a really good cause and a really cool promotion. Did you find those? Did I stall and stammer enough there, Dustin?
That was good. I was waiting for your pause. I've just found it here. They raised nearly $170,000 in four silent auctions and one live auction.
Wow.
At Celebration 4.
Were we off? 170,000.
That's what I was thinking. I thought it was over. I thought I saw a number over 100. So
that's unbelievable.
Wow, incredible.
That's great.
So Celebration Europe, you gotta, you know.
Yeah, they've got.
That's,
yeah.
That's a pretty high bar to meet right there.
Absolutely. Also, at Celebration Europe, some ILMers scheduled to appear. Don Beese, Lauren Peterson, Norman Reynolds, and Robert Watts. Now, I saw Beese, Peterson, and Reynolds at Celebration 4. And if there's any, you know, if any of you are thinking, yeah, that sounds maybe like it might be a little dull, it is anything but dull. These guys have some of the funniest and some of the coolest stories to listen to. So if you're going to Celebration Europe, yeah, please give that a shot, because it's did you guys catch that, the ILM Superstars?
No.
I got that. I know, Jay, you had asked for us to write up some of these things, and I took such copious notes, and they've got to turn into something. So hopefully it's not too late. I'll get them written up, because
I'll do my video, you do your notes.
All right, that's a deal.
And then one of the other cool things that the people at Celebration Europe are going to have, which we were alluding to earlier, is a rough cut of the Kyle Newman's movie Fanboys. So
yeah,
on Saturday, people are going to get to see a rough cut of the full version of the movie. And so what's a rough cut? It may not be the final edit of the film. It may not have all of the sound effects or any special effects or anything like that, titles and things like that. But you're going to see pretty much what the final movie is going to be.
Man, you know what though? Who wants to watch that? I mean,
I got to tell you,
the sound.
Well, you get the
cutting,
no,
back
get,
and forth.
You get the sound. You just don't get all the sound effects.
That's like getting one of them figures with no paint on them.
I will tell you though, I got a chance to see some rough cuts of some films back in college, and it's pretty cool to see that, you know, in that state, and you know, to well, that, and for those things, it's like, you know, you give your feedback. It's one of those things where you fill out the survey and that kind of stuff to tell them that the ending stinks and they need to go reshoot it or whatever.
Yeah, but needs more Dustin. Kyle, it needs more Dustin.
Oh,
I know what you mean, Jay. I know what you mean. I'm just giving you guys crap because, you know, I just want to see the movie, and I'm so jealous that they're getting it and we didn't.
Yeah.
So
we saw about these
congratulations, Europe.
Once again, a brilliant coup. You have the Hamill and you have the Fanboys and McDiarmid. Gosh, next, you know, Ewan McGregor is going to come rolling in on his Harley right in the middle of the friggin' convention center.
Yeah.
With McDiarmid on his back.
I will say that we had, I'm not sure how many total celebrities are there, because we had like 55 celebrities at Celebration 4, and we had 49 or 50 artists, and they only have 25 of the artists there. So, you know, they get some cool stuff, we got some cool stuff.
That's true.
Let's just say everybody gets cool stuff.
And I have to say, I want to put the challenge out to Celebration Europe. I defy you to come up with a more streamlined, calm process as Official Picks did with all those artists, with all those actors.
Yeah.
It was just amazingly organized and probably one of the smoothest parts of being at the show. I would say,
yeah. Now, see, that's what some of these other vendors or licensees need to learn, how to work their lines. You know what I mean?
Right.
Gentle Giant, are you listening? Sideshow. No, Sideshow did a good job, but Star Wars Shop. There, that was a madhouse over there too. Man, there's got to be better line control for some of this exclusive product that these guys bring. I mean, I know that's the draw to your you know booth.
Yeah,
but I mean, once you sell it out, nobody wants to come back. You know what I mean? I don't understand that.
And the fire marshal says, "I'm sorry, but you people can't be here." And you're like, "But it's the animated Boba Fett."
Yeah, I don't give a crap what Boba Fett it is. You're out of code.
You get your Boba Fett out of here. Oh man! All right. Well, you know what? We also I think we've got Chris Mocked on the line here. He is actually, as we record this, he is standing in the airport in Chicago on his way to head out to Celebration Europe. Of course, Chris and Courtney Mocked are the folks, that the producers behind The Force Among Us. fantastic documentary. And I saw a speaking of rough cut, guys, I actually saw the final cut of Force Among Us, and it's really, really good. Tremendous. Like,
how did you see it?
We'll talk after the show.
I hope he put all of his DVDs in the mail before he left for Europe.
What's that?
I want to get my copy of the DVD before he goes to Europe.
Well, we'll find out. Here he is. This is our conversation with Chris Macht. Okay, we have Chris Macht on the phone. Of course, Chris and his sister Courtney are the forces behind The Force Among Us. You can check that out. All the details there at theforceamongus.com. This documentary about Star Wars fans, and of course, you know, as a powerful and influential member of Star Wars media, I have actually seen a copy of this. And Chris, I got to tell you, I had thought that I had seen it all. As far as your panel at Celebration 4, I thought, well, you know, once you see a few clips of a film like this, you've pretty much seen the whole thing, and that is not the case. I was absolutely glued to the TV for the whole 90 minutes. I really enjoyed it.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And I think that's one of the things that we tried to do was at Celebration 4 and, like, Celebration Europe, we just kind of give a taste to people. Because I know, like, Episode 2, they had that movie. I felt like by the time I had seen Episode 2 in the theater, it was like, boy, I saw that movie already, you know? And
right.
We tried to, like, almost recycle our trailers, if you will, and mm-hmm. and hope that, you know, if people had seen the trailer on YouTube, maybe they won't mind seeing it on a bigger screen at places like Celebration 4 and Celebration Europe, you know?
Right. Now, you're literally at the airport right now on your way to Celebration Europe, right?
Yes. We're actually at the airport. We just went through security and about to go sit down at Chili's and grab a meal before we get on the plane. We're getting in the morning at about 10 a.m. Tomorrow, Thursday morning, you know. Of course, they should be aired by then.
I mean, of course, you're going out there to promote the film like you did at Celebration 4. How's your mindset different from when it was at, you know, going into Celebration 4? Do you feel a little more prepared? I mean, this is your first European convention appearance. What's the difference, and how is it the same?
The mindset here is almost like Celebration 4. I think they put us through the training stage, you know. I love London. I've been to London so many times. It's where I met Lucas. Of course, that I talked about in the show in the lobby at the Episode 3 premiere. I've been to London several times. It's almost like my second home, and I'm just looking forward to returning there. The vibes in the air are just something unbelievable. You know, the Celebration Europe is doing a couple outside events. And the feeling in the air outside is just, it's very, very festive. And I loved Celebration 4, but I think that this is going to be the winner of the party of the year, you know?
No, say it isn't true.
I know, it's funny, when I was leaving the office, I checked a lot of emails, and Jimmy Mack was one of them, and he's like, oh, I'm so jealous you're going. And it's just, you know, it's an expensive trip for us. So we have a little bit more, we're very focused on our goal as far as promoting it. You right. know, we made a lot of exclusives, we made a lot of stickers, we made a lot of buttons. We have 4 suitcases that are just so packed to the brim that we had to pay a little extra to get the stuff over there. And it's all promo stuff. You know, we have our banners and all that sort of thing. So the mindset is a lot of excitement and a lot of focus on what the goal is, and that's to get to not only have fun, but of course get the word out, you know, about the film.
Right. Well, and if someone's going to Celebration Europe, when can they get to see some of this film, and how can they get some of those goodies you're taking with you?
Well, the goodies we're going to try to give out every day. I actually have a couple of shirts as well for those of you that, you know, knew we gave out 1,000 free shirts in Los Angeles. You know, we're giving out a couple of shirts here as well. I'm going to actually be dressed in my Plo Koon costume. This is the first, it's one of my favorite, you know, pieces in my collection, and it's the first time that I've ever dressed up at a convention. And I think the reason why I wanted to do that was just to get people's attention. You know, I'm going to have a Force Among Us sign, so people can come up to Plo Koon and ask him for the goodies. Crew will be next to me. And we're just doing some crazy fun stuff like that, and we're going to make ourselves very noticeable. Our panel is on Sunday at 4 p.m., to 5. Again, they've given us the last slot on the last day, on the last hour. It's Sunday, and it's going to be on the fan stage. And we're going to be giving away some goodies, of course, at our panel as well. You know, posters and stickers and buttons and all kinds of good stuff, you know?
Right, right. Chris, if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about the film itself. I mean, it should be shipping to the folks that have pre-ordered it just about any time now. As soon as as you get them, right?
As soon as I get them, we ship them out. Yes, the film is complete. All the artwork's turned in to the manufacturing people, and I can't thank the people that pre-ordered the DVD enough. We had pre-sold 600 copies. So there's 600 people out there that just believe in us, and I hope they're as excited as you when they see the film. You know, it will ship this month for sure. And I just want to just publicly say that I apologize for the delay, but the delay was caused too by making sure that the quality of not only the film but the packaging is superior. I want to have people satisfied with the film that they're going to receive in their hands, you know?
Well, and you certainly want, a presentation, a packaging presentation that is worthy of this film. And I really mean this when I say it. This is the kind of documentary that needs to be right on there, on your shelf with the original films, what it does is, you know, we've had numerous documentaries on the making of the movies themselves, and you know, every once in a while one of these documentaries pops up, maybe about the 501st, but what you've done is you've tried to really capture the essence of Star Wars fandom in general. I know that you're reluctant for the comparison to Trekkies, but when I say it's like Trekkies, I mean that with a very complimentary meaning behind it, because I thought that was a fantastic film and really captured the essence of all the different types of Star Trek fans, and you've done that with Star Wars. And, you know, anybody who thinks that Star Wars fans and Star Trek fans are just alike, watch this film, because you'll see Star Wars fandom has a completely different vibe. And I know that part of the goal in this film for you was to break down the stereotypes, but you also don't hide from the stereotypes. They're right there. The stereotypes are there. The prototypical fans are there, and the atypical fans are there. Everybody's there.
Right, right. And, you know, come to think of it, I've had a lot of people, like WGN in Chicago, had said, you know, well, what about this guy in your film? Isn't he the stereotypical fan? And you know, you really can't do a film about all the fans without having at least one stereotypical guy in there. You know, and Frank Iorio had said it best. He's like, in order to break the stereotypes, you got to show them, too, you know?
That's exactly right.
So, but like you said, there's babies in our film, and grandmothers in our film, and, you know, there's people with different accents in the film, and we wanted to capture as much of diversity as we could, and we set out to, you know? And, of course, sure, I don't know when you watch the film, if you had a sense of equality from the diversity of all these fans, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what also struck me was just how real it was and raw. And when I say raw, I don't mean in the quality of the production. I mean raw as in you weren't shying away from controversy, that's for sure. I mean, there's a guy that in the film that has some kind of colorful things to say about George Lucas and the special editions. There's also another individual in there that was kicked out of the 501st, and it's really I think very, very gutsy of you to show all those different sides.
I think you for the compliment, and I think the thing that the Cordage said too was we both wanted to show the truth. You know, we both wanted to show the truth. There's the Star Wars fans. Me and you both, we take our fandom seriously, you know, and sometimes, you know, people take it to the next level. And Court also said that she wanted to make sure that the fans told the story, not the filmmakers. I mean, of course, we wrote the questions for the fans, but they could have, like, said, hey, I don't want to talk about that sort of thing. But we felt like there were a lot of stories that were out there about, let's say, Toby that got thrown out of the 501st. Nobody knew his story. So we're like, well, let's ask him if he'll share it with us. And, you know, let's just show that the 501st is a serious organization, and then let's cut away to, let's say, Sean and Elfie, who are the guys that are riding the bikes down the street in the rookie costumes, and they're at home with their family and stuff. And, you know, we just wanted to show every aspect of it, you know. It's just because it's a big universe. I think the Star Wars universe is, the fandom universe is as big as the Star Wars universe itself, you know.
And then there's this other side that was really new to me, and those are the folks that actually go and tour these locations, and that's towards the end of the film. When you were in Norway, and then there's some footage of when you were in Tunisia. How do you describe those folks?
Well, you know, for me to describe those folks would be describing myself, because I had taken a tour to Tunisia with Mark Dumont, who's a good friend of mine. He was kind of the tour guide out there, and of course, you know, going to Norway, I was actually on that trip before we even had plans to film out there. I think, to tell you the truth, you know, there's a lot of Europeans in the segment of going to Tunisia and going to Norway, and they don't have the same perspective on, you know, traveling out there like I do, because that's kind of their backyard, if you will. You know,
right.
That's a 2-hour plane ride to Norway from, you know, most of Europe. For me, that's like a 12-hour plane ride, you know.
Sure.
So it depends. You know, some of the, you know, you'll see some of the fans kind of explain themselves in there. I just think, you know, the reason why I wanted to go see the locations is because, you know, it's almost like that next step of collecting. You know, you collect because you want pieces of the film. You know, you want something that's tangible. You want something that's in your hand. When you go to the locations, you're part of the Star Wars universe now. I mean, you're standing in, like, the Grand Canyon of Star Wars, if you will. And for me, I went out there just kind of seeking, you know, seeking for the next Star Wars thrill, you know. And I know everybody else has different reasons, so it's kind of hard for me to talk about everybody as a whole, but I think that's kind of cool that everybody does have different reasons for going there as well. It just, again, it shows that diversity, you know.
Huge amount of diversity, and all different levels of dedication and commitment. But I guess the reason that struck me the most is because I'm a bit of a homebody, and so I like to sit at home with my toys, you know, or in the ForceCast studios, and it just shows. And there's a certain level of adventure and daring I really admire about these folks that collect these memories of going on location. I just found it absolutely fascinating. So,
if I can add too, you know, since you saw the film and the word is starting to get out, and of course the critics will say this and the critics will say that, and the fans will say this and the fans will say that, but what we wanted to do in the Force Among Us too, the reason why we wanted to film in all this diversity and bring this equality is because me, Star Wars fan, a hardcore fan for so long, I can't tell you how many people I've bumped into at places, not only in a positive way, but also in a negative way. There seems to be this thing out there like, oh, well, I have the biggest collection, so I'm the biggest Star Wars fan, or I have this, so I'm the biggest Star Wars fan. And me, of course, when we first thought about this movie, we wanted to sit down and say, you know, nobody's the biggest fan, really. We're all big fans together, you know?
Yep.
So I think that was another thing that we wanted to show in The Force Among Us, you know?
And you did. You really did. And I can't thank you enough for sharing it with me. I feel really privileged that I got to see it. Now, Pete's on vacation, so he's going to have to wait before he gets to see it. But I was really happy to see it, and I know that you, I think Jimmy got a copy of it. Well, thanks for taking us along the ride with you.
Oh, no problem. And then we thank you for, you know, for having us on the show, and, of course, the help that you guys gave us at Celebration 4, you know, from, you know, not only spending time with us and hanging out, but, you know, interviewing us and introducing us. We're going to miss you in Europe, man. You're not there to introduce us.
Well,
and the introduction that you gave us, I was actually trying to remember exactly what you said word for word, and I was trying to put that on the back of the Force Among Us DVD box, you know.
Well, I'll send that to you. I think I kind of remember what I said, but all right, Chris Mock, you're on your way to Celebration Europe. Have a safe trip. Have lots of fun. And one more time, your panel is this Sunday from 4 to 5 on the Fan Stage. Wish I could be there with you, brother.
All right, man. Thank you, and we will call you guys and let you know how the trip went. And Court says hello to all the Force Among Us fans out there.
All right, please do, and say hello to Court for us.
All All right, take care.
All right, Godspeed. So there you got it. Chris and Courtney Macht on their way to Celebration Europe. Now, they're not the only ones, of course. The friends of ours, Dan Curto, is on his way. Or by the time this goes live, he'll obviously be there.
Better be there.
Unless something really went wrong.
He's hung up in customs somewhere going, but no, dude, you don't understand. It's not liquid. It's my Star Wars collection.
Now, Dustin, what's he going to do? He doesn't have you to talk to the whole way out there.
Good. Maybe somebody will get some sleep.
Now, you know, one of the things that I was kind of curious about in the build-up to Celebration Europe, because I'm really proud to be a member of this, the Force.net, RebelScum.com family, and we worked really, really hard to build some great content, not just after Celebration and during, but before, and the build-up before, and the different guides, and there it is. There's a Celebration Europe survival guide. I didn't think we were going to see this, but there is one up there. Do we have you to thank for that, Jay?
Part of it. Jeremy really pulled it all together there. He sent me over some information so we could kind of get it into the same format. But I mean, except for some of the schedule stuff and the artists, Jeremy pulled all that together. And, you know, I mean, this is in his backyard. He's really taking care of everybody on euro.rebelscum.com with all the information for this. So kudos to Jeremy Beckett for pulling that all together in advance.
Oh, great. Well, all in all, they're in store, I think, for a great event. If I'm real honest here, I think a couple weeks ago, I was pretty much thinking that they were in for maybe a little bit of a disappointment. But with the recent announcements, you know, they're going to get to see Fanboys, Mark Hamill, Ian McDiarmid, and many of the great elements that made Celebration 4 so cool with the auction. Yeah. and all that, and the exclusive figures and all that. I think they're going to have a great time.
All the guests and everything, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great. So there it is, your Celebration Europe, the final report. Hopefully we'll be getting some news from the folks that were there the next time you hear us. But there's a little bit of collecting news, so we're going to go to that in just a second.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
Well, Dan Curto may not be here, but he's here in spirit, that's for sure. And I made sure that he sent us the recent shakeup on the most recent Hasbro Q&A. And just what really shakes loose or shook loose news-wise this week. And there's a few things here. And, Jay, I'm glad you're here because you're going to be able to, tell me who these characters are because I really don't know.
All right.
But basically, in brief, according to the Hasbro Q&A this week, Nim, the character of Nim, who's a Fiorin, was brought up. And while Hasbro does like that particular race, the Fiorin race, they're a little more partial to... Is it Rav or Rave?
I believe it's Rav.
Rav from Legacy, the pirate, which he's actually very cool. I've been reading that book quite a bit. So,
Nim, obviously from the Starfighter video game, and then from the Starfighter Crossbones three-issue comic series. And anyone who is not familiar with the Fiorans, they look a little bit, is Kit Fisto a Fiorin? No, he's not. He's Kit Fisto. They look similar to Kit Fisto.
I thought Kit Fisto was. I assumed they looked, I think so.
I want to say he's some other race. But
maybe he's half Fiorin.
But anyway, they've got the...
he's a mudblood.
He's lots of head tentacles. Yeah, that's open now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. All right, we're getting slap happy now. You can tell it's towards the end of the show. They did confirm that there will be no updated version of Arvel Crynid, but the helmet for Jay, you want to help me out? Is it Tycho?
Tycho Selchu.
Selchu. They did admit that is partially inaccurate. They're going to look into fixing that for a future pilot release. Goodness. And a Womp Rat? Somebody asked about a Womp Rat. Are we ever going to see one? Probably not. But maybe someday.
I bet we will.
You think so?
We got those Jabba ceiling slugs or whatever the hell they were that came out the back.
Oh, that's true. Right, right. Yeah.
Snail things?
Well, the thing is, Womp Rats don't have any... they've had no screen time, and there's... I mean, the art in the different West End games guides and comics very widely on what a Womp Rat's supposed to look like. So,
okay.
Well, actually,
okay.
I guess they do have one in the. I tell you what.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
They've got the license till 2018. I'm gonna bet you $20 right now. By 2018, we get a Womp Rat.
You know what? I'm not
going to be down for the
that
bet.
That is quite Jay, a limb that you're going to.
I'll put you down for $1. All right.
I'm good for it, man. 20 bones. Let's go.
I'll say,
no
guys.
No interest or anything like that.
How about you buy me a Womp Rat? Or I'll buy you a Womp Rat if they
I tell you what. By the time 2018 comes around, $20 will be like a cheeseburger.
It'd be like a cheeseburger?
It'd be like a cheeseburger. Maybe a small Coke.
Well, I can achieve a lifelong childhood ambition there. If we do get one, I'll get the Bullseye one in my T16. If you call the Skype line, that's what Pete and I say we're doing. If you
that's
guys,
a game, man. They should make that into a game.
They should.
Cool.
There you go. See, with we're the giving
Wii.
Them all kinds
with
of good
Wii.
Ideas.
You could shoot it with the Wii. Design Womp Rats.
I was happy to hear the story from last week that the lightsaber Wii game is most likely going to be a reality here. I mean, not that there was any real doubt, but it's nice to hear some conversation.
You know, I finally saw one of those on the shelves the other day.
Get out, really?
I saw six of them.
Ah.
And I didn't have $249 at that moment.
Well, I just picked up an iPhone, so I won't be buying anything probably for the rest of the year. According to my wife.
Before you're...
What's that?
I said that in C4. You're done.
Oh, I'm so done. You have no idea. You have no idea. It's cold at night, let me tell you, gentlemen. I was happy to hear that the Skiff is going to most likely be re-released. I've missed that both times now that it's been out. It's one of those elusive vehicles that for me that I never seem to get. I'm never in the right spot at the right time, and... kind of like the Imperial Shuttle was for me, but I finally did get it on the last go round. So I'm definitely going to pick that up when it comes out.
Or the add-on clearance, I guess. Huh?
That thing is not on clearance yet. It is still $99.99.
I know it's taken up tons of shelf space in my Toys R Us too.
That's the muddy one, right?
It's the muddy one.
Yeah, I want to get one of those.
All right, I'm thinking 50 by the time it gets down to about $69.79. What do you think, Jay? How far do you think it's going to go?
$39.99.
I presume they've gone down.
My bid is $39.99, Bob.
You can
$1.
They go down to $49.99. You know, or $49.95, and that's when they of course start going. They're about half off. I don't think it'll go less than half. But
yeah, I don't think so either. But I'll definitely pick it up once it
gets down a
little
bit more. That Dan mentioned here is that Darth Malak is being reworked to fix the goofy expression, which. I picked up comics this week, and they've got an ad on the back with pictures of Darth Revan, Darth Malak, and the priest cyborg Grievous. And all I got to say is, Malak looks like he sat on a tack. His eyes are like really wide. Like, what? I mean,
hello.
There's the art that came out for Avatar 2 with him being really menacing and stuff like that, and these cold steely eyes. And this is like Marty Feldman or something like that.
Oh, getting back to Indiana Jones here, just for a split second, they have officially announced that there will be a sneak peek of the Hasbro Indiana Jones toy line at Comic-Con.
Excellent.
So I'm anxious to see that. I love the old Kenner indie stuff.
Oh yeah, those were great.
And look at those though, and then look at the modern toy line. You know what they're doing with sculpting and articulation nowadays, and imagine what. These are going to be like. I hope they do it right.
Yeah.
They got to do three. They got to do a 3¾ line. I really hope they do. None of this 7-inch crap. This McFarlane Nika whatever they are stuff.
And they need to go back and do some Indy and in the Club Obi-Wan tuxedo or something like that. They should go back and do. But the line would need to hold on for a while for them to do that, I think.
Well, I think it very well. I think that it could. I hope that it has enough momentum. And I have a feeling, I don't know what you guys think. This is really going off on a tangent. But I have a feeling that Indy 4 is not the end of Indy. I would not be surprised if Lucas Animation started thinking about a potential Indy cartoon series. I really do.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try to do with Indy what they did with Star Wars, which is introduce him to a whole new generation of kids, and he's going to be a big action hero for a new generation. So, I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think it'd be very cool. So hopefully they'll be able, that would give them an incentive to hold on to the toy line. Efont Mon might be making a comeback. hint, hint. Wink, wink. And then this deal with the Saga Legends, poor Dan. You know, he worked so hard on the Saga Legends poll and all of that, and made all these claims about what was coming out and what wasn't, and Hasbro keeps changing things on him. And the poor guy thinks that he looks like, you know, a jerk. But we all know the truth. We know the truth. It's just things happen when you're dealing with a company that size and all the tooling issues. So here's the deal on the Pit Droids in the Saga Legends line, that the plan was that this was going to be a running change, and that they were going to include... well, these Pit Droids, I should go back and say that they're the ones that were included in the overseas versions. They were a pack-in for the episode 1 line. Am I right, Jay, on this?
Yeah, there was it was the bonus Pit Droid foreign release episode 1 2-pack. So you got Qui-Gon and a bonus Pit Droid, or you got Anakin and a bonus Pit Droid.
So basically what's going to happen, despite everything, all the claims that were made in the past, all three colors, the white, the brown, and the orange, as running changes, along with the accessories, and you can go to rebelscum.com and see all the photos here. You're going to see all of them, and then they're going to do, after the orange deco run is finished, they're going to bring in the second sculpt, which is the sitting pose with this storage locker accessory, and so on and so forth. So you're going to get them all, but it's just not going to be in the way that that was originally planned. I guess they just had some tooling issues at the factory, and
they've got to find their molds, I think is what it was.
Probably. But at any rate, you're still going to get them. Let's see, what else do we have? It looks like folks that purchased the big Millennium Falcon from Master Replicas, if you act now, I think that the plan is still, or the offer is still good. If you act now, you can get a good deal on the Han Solo blaster.
If you're listening to the show as it goes live, it's good through Sunday, July 15th.
Okay. So let me just, boy, it's been a while since I read this. I have to excuse me here. Oh, $399, 40% below retail. Unbelievable. What do you have to say for that, Han?
Folky religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid.
That's right. So you guys don't get these. It's just, it's not the same.
That was a great bad impersonation, Jason.
But anyway, you can check that out. We'll have the link on our show notes. And, you know, this is kind of sad. When I saw this, it was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it might happen, regardless whether they kept the license or not. But it just seems like it just has the smell of, like, clearance. And you know what I mean? I don't know.
Because it says clearance? it does. And, you know, I mean, they're trying to move their stock and they're trying to keep the interest in the line because there's nothing coming after this.
So right, right.
Hey, since I'm going there and buying this, maybe I'll buy this something else as well. You know, who knows?
Hey, Jay, why don't you tell us about the comics that came out this week?
Hey, excellent. I have not had a chance to read them yet because as we're recording this, I picked them up about an hour ago. But this week we got Rebellion number 8, which is part 3 in the Akahista Gambit storyline, which is a 5-part series. So this is kind of right in the middle there, and features Will Tarson, who is the character that was introduced in the first story arc, and he's basically working for a criminal mastermind who's put like a bomb in his head, and you know, having him do some errands for him. Otherwise, if he does, then you know, boom. So this is a really interesting storyline that's going on right now. But the one I'm most interested in is Legacy number 14. And Jason, you're following Legacy. I don't know if you're caught up, but
I think I'm about 2 issues behind. I think 12 was the last one that I read.
Okay. I'm on number 8.
Oh, cool.
Don't spoil anything.
I still need number 9.
Okay, I'm not going to... Oh, you're waiting because you're missing one?
Yeah. I'll see. My subscription got messed up. I kind of forgot to stop by there. After 6 months.
Whoopsies.
Well, anyway, issue 14 of Legacy... begins a 6-part storyline. We've had a couple little one-offs and little twofers. Well, this starts the 6-part storyline called, I think it's Claws of the Dragon. and it is going to reveal Darth Krayt's identity in issue 15, or at least start that. So online buzz is very excited. You know, people are speculating, oh, who is this? You know, people thought initially maybe it's Jason, but because of the way that the Legacy of the Force series is going, that's probably not the case. And other people are coming up with wacky theories, anything from like it's like Ben Skywalker to Kitster.
I think I have a feeling I know where the Kitster rumor was began.
I saw it in the forums, and
there's a cloud over Chicago somewhere with that rumor attached to it.
But that is like on Dark Horse's forums, Jan Ostrander and John Ostrander and Jan Dersima have promised that's like the tip of the iceberg. If it's someone that we know, you know, that's the least that we're going to care about when the real revelations come through. Oh, and
so there's something even bigger coming.
The covers have been posted for, I think Dan just posted what's coming with Legacy number 17. We're about 3 months out with that. And the covers for 16 and 17 offer some, shall we say, very interesting possibilities for the contents. They are always very careful in the solicitations not to tell you too much about what's happening 3 issues down the line when you're just getting, you know, the current issue. But there are obviously some Jedi that are doing some things during the classic era that we didn't know about that have permutations all the way, you know, into the Legacy era here. So. I'm very excited to see how they're going to pull this off, and just knowing the way that Jan and John have worked together on Republic, I'm ready to go for the ride. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cover of Legacy 17 right now, and that oof.
We better get it on. Get on it there, D. We better get caught up.
I better swing over to Queen City Comics tomorrow.
So, Jay. You know, your little monologue there on the comics, it's like, gosh, it'd be nice if we could get you to do an EU microcast.
A lot of people have been asking, like, where are the EU microcasts? And, you know, I'm trying to wait until there's enough stuff to get together. But probably in the next couple of weeks here, I think we should probably be able to get something together to kind of catch people up. It's probably been, about 3 months, I think, since we did our last kind of catch up roundtable on that. So
that would be groovy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I got just an email or two here, and we'll call it a night. But I got a little editing to do. Make a note here. All kinds of things going on behind the scenes here. Let me take that again. All right, we just got a couple bits of listener mail, and we're going to call it a night.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
I want to give a shout out to one of our loyal listeners out there, Jedi Schwa. We got to meet Jedi Schwa out at Celebration 4, and he sent the coolest caricature. It's my wallpaper on my computer. Jay's got it as his avatar. He did an amazing job of capturing, us at the Kessel Run. It was really cool. Complete with Dustin down the banister.
Yeah, that was funny.
I was looking at it. And I'm like, man, was he like following us? And then I'm remembering, oh, well, if he was just, he said he was inspired to draw this after listening to the Kessel Run segment again. I'm like, oh, because Jimmy Mack makes a call out that Dustin's now sliding down the banister.
Well, it's really, really good. And it's in the forums, right, Jay?
Yeah, he posted it in, it's in the Forcecast forums. I'm not sure which thread it was.
Well, if you want to take it out, we'll make sure we have a link for it in our show notes.
Yeah, we'll find that.
Yeah, and Bob Smith, the Bob Smith.
If that is his real name.
wanted to make sure that we knew that the one, the only, Billy D. Williams.
Does it work every time?
I hope it does.
Hey, baby.
not every time, but I...
The one, the only Billy Dee Williams has got a new TV show, and it's actually a nighttime soap called Night Shift, which is a spinoff of General Hospital. Now, if there was anybody cut out to be a soap actor, and I mean this with all love and respect, it's Billy. And it sounds like that, I read the article, and it sounds like that he's had the opportunity in the past. You know, he's had the offers to be on a soap, but it was just never the right time. And now it's the right time. He's really at a stage in his life where he can just kind of have fun, do the projects that he thinks will be interesting. And he's having a good time. He's kind of having a little bit of a renaissance. He's been on Lost, right, guys?
Yeah.
And he's been on Scrubs, and now he's going to be on this new show, Night Shift. And, of course, we're a big fan of Billy Dee here at the ForceCast. So thanks for the heads up, Bob. And we did have a listener voicemail, but we're running a little bit long, and I don't think we're going to get to that this week. We'll make sure that we have it next week. Qui-Gon from South Carolina sent us a little bit of a Celebration 4 tale, and we'll make sure we get that next week. So we'll tease you with that. Ooh. And what you guys aren't hearing is the official outro music for the ForceCast. I want to thank you guys for joining the cast here. Jay, Dustin, thanks for stepping in and filling Pete's shoes.
Hey, no problem, man. Somebody got to do it.
Wanted to also send a big shout out, congratulations, and thank you to Pete. Pete really stepped up and handled a lot while I was gone, and I really appreciate that. He did a fantastic job. Jimmy Mack, all of his work that he does every week, to make sure that this show sounds as good as it does. So we're
people in the Chicago area can catch Jimmy Mack on Upscale Chicago, I believe, this week.
What was the name of that show again?
Upscale Chicago.
Check it out. Yeah, Jimmy's going to be on TV, those of you in the Chicago area. Like we said at the top of the show, there are lots of ways to be a part of the ForceCast. You can call us at 330-871-4TFN, leave us a voicemail, or Skype us directly at username ForceCast. Also, the email address podcast@theforce.net. And then, of course, the Rebel Scum forums, which is Jay alluded to earlier, full of full of fun and trivia. Make sure that you get out there and say hi to Jay and Dustin and me and Pete and Jimmy and Dan and all of us here at TheForce.net, RebelScum.com, and The ForceCast. Thanks again, guys. We appreciate you being here.
All right. Great being here.
Yeah. All right. For The ForceCast, I'm Jason.
I'm Dustin.
Oh, man.
And...
Well, let's try this again. For The ForceCast, I'm Jason. Hey, let's go in alphabetical order according to first name. And S comes before Y. For The ForceCast. Oh, Dustin, come on, my man.
You're first.
You're
supposed to go first.
No, I said alphabetical order. Oh, for God's sake. I'll go first, then Dustin, then Jay. For The ForceCast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Dan.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.